Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Blaine Lowry.
How are you doing today, Blaine?
I'm great, man. Very excited for today.
It's gonna be fun. No Weston, so no more Dwayne Haskins jokes. Hallelujah.
Hopefully the train will stay on the rails today.
Oh well, it should. It should stay on the rails. Let's get right into it. Recap the week three of the NFL season. So much to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
And I know we're going to disagree on a lot of topics, so
can't wait.
Enjoy the show. Start off Thursday night. Jacksonville over Tennessee, 20-7. Gardner Minshew, he is the fifth Jaguars quarterback with 2+ touchdowns in the first quarter of the game. Is the Minshew hype for real?
No.
Thank you.
Not even a little bit.
I mean, it's absurd. And then we don't have Weston to take the Minshew position, but come on, guys.
Weston has the biggest man crush on Minshew of anyone I've ever seen.
He's a backup quarterback.
Let's
be real. He's a backup quarterback.
He's a solid backup quarterback.
And good for him. He's performing well. But no. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit.
Slam on the brakes.
It's just enough. Enough, Jackson. I don't know, man.
It's not going to last. There's no way it's going to last.
No way. And they were celebrating his performance against Houston. He was awful against Houston until that final drive.
Right.
Well, you could say, I know it's coming next. Yeah, I know exactly what's coming next.
Easy for you to say. You said the exact same thing about Mitch.
That is true, but it's a two-way sword. I don't know. Mitch has done it before, though.
True.
Unlike Mr. Minshew. Jalen Ramsey, though, not practicing again today.
Oh, I heard he was going to be at the facility.
Yeah, now he has a hamstring and a knee issue. So he is, quote, very unlikely to play week four.
I don't understand what that guy's deal is. So if the team's winning, he's going to show up, but if they're losing, he wants out?
So Monday he had the flu.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently had the flu. And now this. Do you think it's all true, or do you think he's trying to fake it? I think it's true.
I think it is true. But like I said earlier, I think he's one of those guys that if everything's going well, he's going to be on board with you. But if things are starting to go bad, he's going to want out. And is his hamstring actually bothering him? And did he have the flu? I think yes. But the team got a win, so now he wants to stick around. We're going to have to see how this plays out.
It will be interesting to see. I think it's going to be rough in Jacksonville because I think he's going to stay. I don't think they're going to trade him, and I think it's going to blow up in their face.
And Minshew's going to tank.
Yes.
And Fournette has been awful so far this year. He hasn't been his normal self.
No, and DJ Chark's taken over that number one wideout position from
D.D. Westbrook.
So it'll be interesting.
The one thing I will say, though, that the Jaguars have going for them is that it's a pretty weak division. Nobody has really stood out so far yet.
And as for the Titans, man, they came out like gangbusters week one against the Browns. Have been anything but since then. Are we concerned about the Titans?
I'm very concerned about the Titans.
Why?
Mariota is like the number one reason why I'm concerned with the Titans. He just every single year seems to play the exact same way.
Are we ready for Tannehill?
No. Not
yet?
It's not Tannehill time. But I think what's happened with the Titans is a classic case of they came out, they beat the tar out of the Browns. They were on their high horse thinking that it's going to be the Titans' year. Remember the Titans. And then something just came and just undercut them because they were all high and mighty because they knocked off the Browns that everybody was talking about. And now look what they've done since then.
Yeah, and look at the Browns since then.
Right.
We'll get into that later for sure. I agree a little bit. I think Tennessee can get straightened, but those last two performances have not been encouraging. And they're against divisional teams.
Yeah.
It seems you're going to be battling against. That's the part that concerns me the most.
Same thing for the Jaguars goes for the Titans. They're lucky they're in a weak division that nobody stood out so far.
Right,
yet.
And it will be very, very interesting to see what happens there.
Absolutely.
We move on. And Philadelphia, we have an issue in Philly.
Big issue.
They fall to the Detroit Lions, 27-24.
Who still have not lost a game yet. I'll give that for Weston.
Yeah. By the way, this is the third consecutive win the Lions have against the Eagles.
Is that right?
So that's a little interesting. But what is going on in Philadelphia?
Injuries, definitely. But,
yes.
I mean, aside from that, they're not right.
A lot of the dropsies.
Yeah.
I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, fourth down.
Eesh.
Would have won the game pretty much.
Yeah. That's
right
rough.
Through his hands.
That's rough.
Aguilar last week.
Bricks.
It's amazing to see. And I think going on a short week, the Green Bay is going to be It's going to say a lot about this Eagles team going forward. We will preview that in our pick-ems at the end of the show.
Can't wait for that.
But I'm a little concerned about the Eagles too.
What's your take on Carson Wentz?
Well, he doesn't have any help. Carson Wentz has been phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, if his receivers want to catch the ball,
all he's got is Zach Ertz.
I mean, Dallas Goedert too. Drop that touchdown.
Right.
In the far left corner of the end zone.
Zach Ertz is a great weapon to have, but not when he's your only weapon.
I mean, they can double him. Yeah, no matter what.
Exactly. And who's he going to throw to? Arcega Whiteside, who's going to drop it, or Aguilar, who's just going to brick it off his cinder block hands? But the crazy thing about Aguilar is he's had some crazy fantasy games, but from the Eagles' perspective, he's costing games.
Did you see that Philadelphia citizen? There were people like stuck in a fire, or I don't know. There was a fire incident,
uh-huh.
And he was like, "We had to catch these people." Unlike Aguilar.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
And Aguilar reached out after that, and he's like, I'm going to invite that fan and his family to a game. So props to him for taking the high road on that.
Right.
Detroit, I still don't think they're for real.
Absolutely not.
I
slamming the brakes on the Lions.
Good for them. They've beaten two good teams, but they get the Chiefs next week. We won't preview that game in Pick'ems because we both know what's going to happen.
Everybody knows what's going to happen.
I mean, the Chiefs should dominate them over there. But I still don't believe Stat Patford's going to do anything in the clutch.
Yep.
That's why I call him Stat Patford.
When he gets into these shootout-type situations, you know what comes out is his interceptions. He's going to sling a bunch of interceptions. That's my preview
The Detroit defense has been pretty solid so far. I don't know if that can continue. Mike Daniels has been a phenomenal addition, though.
I love Mike Daniels. He's solid. He's very, very solid. He can rush the passer like no one else.
You miss him?
I do miss him. Although our defense has been fantastic, and I can't complain about that, but Mike Daniels is definitely a big part of the Packers defense.
All right. Let's move on to the New England Patriots, who, by the way, just signed Cody Kessler.
Oh, really?
Per source, so he will be the third string quarterback, or maybe they're just not encouraged with Jared Stidham after that embarrassing drive he had versus the Jets. But the Patriots, as expected, beat the Jets 30-14. Brady passes Drew Brees now, 522 touchdowns for second most passing touchdowns in NFL history.
Wow.
So
congrats to Tom on that.
Yes. I don't think there's much to take away from this game.
I was just going to say, we don't have a whole lot to talk about here.
I mean, I got this one in so we can just get it out of the way. We agree the Jets are a train wreck.
Yep.
Until Darnold gets back. And then
still might be a train wreck then, too. We don't know.
But let's address Antonio Brown. We have to do it.
Somebody's got to.
And hopefully it's the last time. It's crazy because I forgot this. I messed up as the host because I meant to start off the show with Antonio Brown. And I forgot. So we will get to Antonio Brown right now. Is he not going to – will he play again in the NFL?
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either.
He is one of the biggest head cases, if not the biggest head case, that's ever set foot in the NFL on an NFL football field. And I honestly have no idea what goes on in that guy's head. But from what we all know, what the public knows, I would be shocked if he came back.
I hope this is the last time we have to talk about Antonio Brown.
I was about to say that too, yeah.
Because
it's a waste of time.
As you know, I probably have been the most vocal Antonio Brown critic. And I don't like criticizing players because I know how hard they work. But he's an absolute lunatic lowlife.
Cancer.
Like, here's the deal. I was having a conversation with someone. Antonio Brown, there's three possibilities with Antonio Brown, right? He either needs help. He's like going through something and he needs mental help or counseling. He either has CTE. That's possibility number two. Or possibility number three, he is the worst human being the world has ever seen.
Or possibility four, all the above.
Well, I mean, CTE, if he has CTE, I could understand that, but...
I agree. I think it is one of those.
It has to be, because he's just out of control.
He is. And the sad thing is, it kind of all happened for no reason. He had a great thing going for him in Oakland. Everything would have been, he was going to get a big paycheck. He was going to play.
He lost $40 million in 2 weeks.
He was going to play on a Raiders team that was on Hard Knocks, had a lot of hype coming into this season. He had a new quarterback. Everything was off. Everything was fine. And then as soon as he, the first thing that took everything and set it off was the whole helmet issue. And just because the league was trying to keep him safe, had he not complained about that, who knows what could be going on right now. The Raiders could be 3-0. Yeah. He could be the number one receiver in the NFL right now. And now look at him. He's out of a job and has no idea where he's going next. And it's sad.
He's enrolled at Central Michigan right now taking classes.
Is that right?
He is a college student.
He's going to try to walk on. I'll tell you what, Central Michigan's football team probably doesn't even want him. They don't want that cancer on that team.
Well, he already played at Central Michigan for 3 years, so maybe even four. I'm not sure.
Hey, well, they don't want him back.
But he is enrolled at Central Michigan taking classes in college, so at least he's doing something productive. Something. Hopefully, we don't have to talk about him again.
Yeah, I'm done talking about him.
Speaking of his former team, the Oakland Raiders, absolutely thrashed by the Minnesota Vikings 34-14. Adam Thielen with 2 touchdowns, 1 receiving, 1 rushing. Kirk played better.
I'll tell you what, Kirk knows how to play against weak opponents. I can give him credit for that. He knows how to play against weak opponents.
Dalvin Cook looks phenomenal.
He does.
I think the Vikings, I feel bad because Kirk is, if they had a good quarterback, I think they'd win the division.
That team would be nasty.
I think they are one. They'd win the division. I think they'd be a top five team in football.
I agree. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Because I mean, they're so good. Like the skill players they have everywhere is even special teams now. Now that they got our punter Colquitt after we caught him, they got skill. They got studs all over the roster,
top to bottom. Minus Kirk, that is a scary football.
It
team.
Is a very good team, well coached as well. With Mike Zimmer, agree. Kevin Stefanski, a coordinator, who's agree. Been a head coach candidate, a Cleveland Brown finalist, by the way. Him and Freddie Kitchens were the two finalists, obviously elected to go the Freddie route. We will get into Mr. Kitchens later in the show. The Raiders.
We'll raid the kitchen later.
The Raiders. they're back to earth. We agree. They're not.
They got the Hard Knocks curse.
They don't have a home game till November.
Really?
So it is going to be nice travels for them coming up.
I feel bad for Gruden.
I don't.
You don't? Why?
He's paying 10 years, $100 million. I have no sympathy for you, no matter what.
Well, from that perspective, no. But, I mean, if you're looking at it from a football perspective, there's probably no other coach in the NFL that loves football as much as Gruden. And he was cursed with this team that just is going to do nothing repeatedly year after year. He's probably beating his head into a brick wall dealing with some of these guys.
Well, that's why he got 10 years.
He's got a long time to write the shit, but I don't know if he ever will.
I think he will. He better. He's got 10 years. So, I mean, they can't fire him. They're going to fire him after this year and pay him $80 million to leave.
I mean, yeah, you can't fire him. It's just they got to.
He'll be fine.
They got to help him out.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
Give the man something to work with.
Yeah. Baltimore Ravens, back to realism, you Ratbird fans. I can't stand Ravens fans.
Finally played a real opponent.
33-28, the Chiefs beat
and
Baltimore.
The score was much closer than the game actually was.
Correct. The Chiefs with 25-plus points now in 24 straight games. They've scored 25 or more points in 24 straight games.
That's unreal.
So we'll talk about the Chiefs first. Mahomes, man. I don't want to.
Incredible.
I mean, he's great, but I can't like crown him as one of the greatest yet because he hasn't won. But right. He is on his way. As soon as he wins the Super Bowl, my goodness.
Which I think is going to be this year.
You think it's going to be this year?
I think the Chiefs are winning it all this year.
He's scary, man. He's
amazing.
He's unreal.
He's amazing. He's gotten to the point where he's throw like half his passes now are no-look passes.
And Andy Reid with his scheming right. as well. Oh, man.
That's a great duo.
And good for Kansas City, too, because they haven't won in a while. And that's a small market, very, very passionate football fan base there in Kansas City. So I'm glad he's there instead of like a big market like a New England. Imagine him in Dallas. Mm.
That's disgusting.
Ugh.
Yeah, but completing passes has gotten so easy for him that now he's half of his attempts are no look.
Hey, Ravens fans, though, Is Lamar Jackson for real? 22 of 43.
Ugh. And it's not like the Chiefs' defense is anything special.
Lamar Jackson, he went back to being Lamar Jackson. They got over the top about playing Miami and Arizona. He's not a thrower yet. He's not. He's had some good throws, sure, but he plays the Browns this week. He has Pittsburgh.
I can't wait for that game, by the way. Ravens-Browns.
We will pick that game.
Okay.
So we will get into that later.
For the sake of the show,
I will be at that game too.
All right.
So I'm excited about that.
For the sake of the show, I wish I could disagree with you about Lamar, but I mean, how can I? I can't disagree. He's not a thrower at all.
There's no words for it. Like, there is no words. And I'm glad. I hope the Ravens fans, I hope the Rappers just keep losing. I love hearing their fans just be so quiet.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
I will say this. I still think the Ravens will win that division, but
I don't even care that the Ravens are the local team here. I'm going to trash the Rappers all I want on this show.
The brakes have been slammed on Lamar.
Enough. Enough of the Rappers. I can't deal with that anymore. Indianapolis Colts squeak out a win versus the Atlanta Falcons 27-24. The Colts snap a 5-game home opening losing streak.
Wow.
So that is a little mini statistic there. But
what do you think about Jacoby?
I've always said I liked him. He doesn't turn the ball over. I think they're going to be better than what they were. I had him at 11. I think 11 or 12, and I dropped them down to 8.
Mm-hmm.
But he might be at 9-10. I mean, Jacoby is, they got good players all around him. That offensive line's the best in football.
They need T.Y. to stay healthy.
Yes, they do. Ideally.
Big time.
And I think he might miss a couple games, but I think they'll be fine. Malik Hooker out a month and a half now as well. Should be a big blow for them. For the Atlanta Falcons, losing Keanu Neal. You just feel for the guy coming back off a torn ACL. Now he tears his Achilles. One of the better safeties in the National Football League.
We wish him a speedy recovery. It's very unfortunate.
For sure. Atlanta. Are we... Did you have them winning the NFC South?
I did.
So you and Jimmy both had them winning the NFC South.
I'm a little bit shaky on it now.
Why?
They just have proven now that they just can't get the job done. I mean, the Colts are... From what we've learned, have been solid. Nobody really expected it with Jacoby, but we've learned that he is a reliable. He's been reliable, but the Falcons just have proven that they can't get it done for whatever reason.
Well, they can't pass protect.
Yeah,
they can't protect Matt Ryan at all.
And Matt Ryan cannot move.
False start after false start for Caleb McGarry, by the way, one of their early draft picks. So I'm sure Atlanta fans are loving Thomas Dimitrov in the front office.
Matt Ryan is not a mobile quarterback, and their offensive line is trying to force him to be a mobile quarterback. Yeah. And I guess that's the number one issue.
It will be interesting to see how they resolve that. You want to talk about your Green Bay Packers?
3-0, baby. 4-0 coming up this week.
Aaron Rodgers in his last 16 starts, by the way, is 13-2-1
in Green Bay. The man's on fire.
They win 27-16 over the very lowly Denver Broncos. I'll let you talk about the Packers, and then I'm going to absolutely rant on the Denver Broncos.
Okay. Well, you know, as I told you, I still have a couple issues with Matt LaFleur. I don't think he's really harnessing the Packers' true potential. I mean, I can't complain too much. The man is 3-0. But with the guys that he has, Davante Adams, Jimmy Graham, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he's even improving. Geronimo Allison, a big, long wide receiver. LaFleur needs to let Rodgers drop back and sling the ball. I've been saying this since week one, that we're doing too many, like, trying to fake run, have Rodgers roll out in, like, a little dump off. How many times did you see Rodgers do the thing where nobody's open, so he just, like, throws the ball out of bounds or flicks it into the ground? I'm tired of seeing that. Rodgers wants to go back and shotgun, take the snap, and fling the ball. I missed the Rodgers when he'd had 400-plus yards and 4 TDs in a game, and he hasn't had that in such a long time. But, I mean, like I said, I can't complain too much. We're 3-0, and I'm liking LaFleur. He's getting the wins. But I just miss that Rodgers, and I don't know if we're going to see that Rodgers with LaFleur. That's my only issue.
Interesting to see. I can partly agree with that. I love Mike Pettine's defense.
Love Mike Pettine's defense. Yeah, I didn't even touch on the defense because we've looked phenomenal.
That's my guy. Yeah, Mike Pettine's my guy.
That's your boy.
7-9, by the way, in his first year as a Cleveland Browns head coach. Had us in playoff contention for a while, and then the injuries caught up that year.
I will say this about the Packers' defense, though, because I'll be fair about it. We haven't really played a great offense yet. The Vikings were the best offense we've played, but we've seen what Kirk does. We've seen what Kirk does against great opponents.
I'd agree.
So
let me get to the Denver Broncos. As you guys know, I picked the Denver Broncos to make the playoffs as the second AFC wild card. I couldn't be more incorrect, but it's not even why. Like, it drives me crazy because I picked them because of the defense. The offense hasn't even been the issue. The defense has been the issue. What the hell are the Denver Broncos doing on defense? How does Von Miller and Bradley Chubb not have a sack?
That whole team doesn't have a sack. Is that right?
Yeah. What the hell is going on? I don't even care about my language. Sorry, FCC Airways. If you are a Broncos fan, like, I would be absolutely livid. But what the hell is going on in Denver?
The show's going off the rails.
I mean, serious. Like, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are two of the top five pass rushers in football. And they don't have a sack. Vic Fangio's supposed to be the defensive mastermind. What the hell is going on in Denver?
What has he mastered? Absolutely nothing.
It's just... Oh.
It is mind-boggling. They don't even have a turnover also, right?
No, they don't have anything.
Zero turnovers and zero sacks.
Their defense has been horrible. Their defense has been horrible.
Through three full games.
How are Broncos fans not sickened by this?
They probably are, honestly.
Well, I haven't heard anything about them being sickened.
Right.
One of my good friends is a Denver Broncos fan. He's like, oh, give it time. You have zero sacks.
And zero turnovers. And three full games.
They were supposed to be a top, at least a top 10 defense.
I want
to
know what they do at practice. Like, are they?
Vic Fangio has always had great defenses. Always. Whether it be in San Francisco, Stanford with Jim Harbaugh, the Bears, obviously, last year and the years before. What is going on? I speak for the Denver Broncos fan base here, but this is embarrassing. Like, this is absolutely embarrassing. Like, if I were a Denver Broncos fan, as you can tell, I would be so mad.
I could see that.
Because it's...
I really want an inside scoop of what's going on in practice, though, because what are they doing that has allowed them to get zero sacks and zero turnovers? That is honestly mind-boggling. It is. When was the last time that's happened in the NFL that a team has gone three full weeks without a sack or a turnover?
They haven't had one. Like, the Bears, they played close, and then they gave up.
How did they not get a pick on Trubisky? That is embarrassing.
I knew you were going to go there.
That's embarrassing. I could see how they couldn't sack him. I mean, he's pretty fast, but they couldn't pick him off?
So they
gift wraps interceptions.
And they played the Raiders. They allowed 24 to the Raiders offense without Antonio Brown.
They couldn't even
pick
off Derek Carr.
They allow 16 to the Bears, and they allow 27 to the Packers. The Denver Broncos, man, it's embarrassing. Like, I am embarrassed.
How many wins are you giving them?
I had them at 9 or 10. It's just... Their defense, I'm...
You're speechless again.
Three? Four?
Really?
I mean, their defense sucks.
I was going to give them five.
I mean, they suck. They are a horrible football team
right now.
They're
very bad.
The
thing that scares me, though, is that if the defense does figure it out, I don't know if the offense is going to sustain it. Because, I mean, Joe Flacco is not the best guy to have back there. Phil Lindsay is a great running
back.
Now,
the Broncos play Mr. Minshew week four. If they don't do anything week four... The Denver Broncos fans should boycott. Boycott. Boycott for the Sports Authority Mile High Field.
Paper bags over their head.
It would be an absolute... They better have an interception on Gardner Minshew. They better have an interception on that guy. I'm going to be mad.
The bad news Broncos.
Moving on. I'm glad. I had to get that off my chest. That was the one thing I wanted to get off my chest on this show. The Dallas Cowboys. 31-6 over Miami. Dak Prescott, the fastest Cowboys quarterback to reach 75 career passing touchdowns. I don't think there's much to take away from this one either.
It's the Dolphins. I mean, nobody can be high on the Cowboys yet. They have beaten nobody.
They beat the Giants, they beat the Redskins, and they have beaten the Dolphins.
Womp, womp, womp. Nothing. That is a whole lot of nothing.
Very interesting.
I want to know what Cowboys, like, I'd love to talk to Ozair right now, see what his
Ozair,
takes are.
Ozair, former co-host of our show.
I'd love to hear his takes on the Cowboys.
He's probably how can, on how field
it,
day.
How can anybody be high on them?
I don't know.
They've beaten no one. And that game against the Dolphins was close at halftime.
It was close. They were had an awful first half.
I picked them in Survivor Pool, the Cowboys, and I was a little nervous.
You always just pick whoever plays the Dolphins.
Exactly. That's what I said last show. But I was nervous at halftime, I'll admit.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to say. I agree with you. There's not. Let's move on. That horrible game. Bills, 3-0. They beat the Bengals 21-17. They're one of three AFC teams to begin the season 3-0, along with the Chiefs and the Patriots.
They almost choked.
They did, but they are 3-0 still. They play the Patriots next week. Are the Bills for real?
I still say no.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not a believer in Jared Allen. That's
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, that's right. I'm not a believer in Josh Allen yet. I think they're going to get the brakes beaten off them against New England next week. I really do. I just don't see the Bills being legit.
You want to pull your argument about the schedule? You should pull it up against for the Bills right now. Have you seen who the Bills beat?
It's the Bengals,
the Jets, and the Giants.
There you go. Who have they beaten that gives them any relevance? And they almost choked against the Bengals too.
I think the Bills are for real.
You got to give them credit for being 3-0, but I still say no.
I think they can be a playoff team. I really do. I think they have the personnel to do it. I like Josh Allen more than most people. I love their defense. Their defense is extremely physical. I think they love football. I think that team loves football. And
love to circle the wagons.
And the team camaraderie. I think that's so underrated nowadays, how like team camaraderie plays and has an impact on a game. And they have that in Buffalo. It's very clear. You can tell everyone's having a great time.
That's fair.
It's a town that loves their Bills. I think they can be a playoff contender. I really do.
Really?
I like them a lot. I think they can win 8, 9, 10 games.
Do you give them any shot of winning that division?
No. No. But I think they can be a wild card team.
Okay.
I really do. Especially over the Broncos.
I still say no. I'm not seeing the weapons, and they still haven't beaten anybody yet. So if they make it a tight game against New England this upcoming week, I'll start to maybe change my mind about it. But still, as of right now, I'm on the brakes, and I think speaking of brakes, they're going to get the brakes beaten off them by New England.
We will see. We will see. I agree they'll lose, but I wouldn't necessarily say the beat's breaking off. Daniel Jones, man, pretty phenomenal in his debut. The go-ahead 7-yard rushing touchdown with 121 remaining. The Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-31 off Matt Gay, who can't make a field goal to save his life.
Do you think the narrative on Daniel Jones flips at all if that field goal goes through? Or do you still think people are going to be high on him?
They're high. It's New York.
That's true.
it's New York. They don't care if it goes in and out. It's New York. No, I don't think it will have an impact at all.
All right.
So, I think good for the Giants. I mean,
that was a good
win one. Man, the Buccaneers, they were my pick to win the NFC South.
Yep.
Damn kickers. And sorry for my language again, but I'm having a field day today.
Yeah.
But
that's embarrassing. It really is. You have one job, dude. One job.
It wasn't even a long field goal. It was a 34-yarder.
That's a gimme. That's a gimme field goal.
That's a PAT.
It is.
It's less than a yard from a PAT.
He just shanked it. Straight up shank. But, I mean, you got to give Daniel Jones credit.
The fact that the rookie kickers, the rookie kicker ruined my Buccaneers prediction.
Yep.
It ruined my Buccaneers prediction, man.
Is he going to be cut?
He should be. I would cut. I said I don't even care about the compassion aspect. He'd be cut right after the game.
He had a rough day. Didn't he? He missed one PAT, and then one got blocked.
Yeah.
And then he shanked the game-winning field goal. Yeah, he's got to be gone.
I mean, and he's a rookie.
Got to be gone.
Rookie kicker, fifth-round pick. Yeah, got to go.
What would you say is the other issue with the Buccaneers are dealing with, though?
I mean, they played well. Their defense obviously stinks, but
yeah,
their offense is – Jameis has played out of his mind.
Yeah, Mike. Shout out to Mike Evans. Huge day.
Yes, absolutely.
Huge day.
How do you think he feels?
I think he feels fantastic now.
Well, about that loss.
Though. Oh, about the loss, not good at all. But, I mean, the first two games, Mike Evans was a complete non-factor.
Right.
So, for him to have this game, I know, I'm sure it was a huge up boost for him and his and his morale and his confidence, because I think he probably wasn't feeling too good after the first two games. Jameis was kind of like ignoring him.
Yeah, so. I would generally agree with that as well.
Another story from this game though is Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big loss. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery
too. Yeah, 4 to 8 weeks. That's going to be very interesting to see.
With Daniel Jones, do you think the Giants have a chance of making a wild card?
No.
So you're pumping the brakes on him.
No. Relax. No. just not going to happen at all. I think they're a 7-9 football team at best.
I was going to say 6-10.
At best. I'd say 5-11.
And now with no Saquon with 4 to 8 weeks.
And they'll
maybe
win against the Redskins next week.
Redskins,
and
speaking
then of
train
and then
wrecks.
They're going to be like, oh, we can make the playoffs. We're 2-2. No, not at all. Well, just no. It won't happen. And we move on now to the Cardinals and the Panthers, with Christian McCaffrey being amazing along with Kyle Allen.
Dud.
McCaffrey has the most scrimmage yards in his first three seasons in Carolina Panthers team history. Allen with phenomenal as well. Panthers win 38-20 in a demolition. Can they rest Cam now a little bit longer if Kyle Allen plays like this?
I think they can.
Or is it more that he's playing the Arizona Cardinals?
No, I think they can rest him. I liked what I saw from him. And the funny thing about this is, do you remember the commercial with Cam Newton and the little kid? And the little kid was saying that he's going to be the new starter for the Carolina Panthers. He'd be Cam Newton's favorite player and all that. I think it's hilarious because now that's exactly what's happening. Cam Newton's going to take a back seat and watch this kid just come and take over the Panthers.
I love that analogy. I absolutely love that analogy.
It's his team now, I think. I think Cam Newton might be done in Carolina.
Really?
I think he might be done in Carolina.
Well, if he keeps winning, you got to keep him out there.
Absolutely. But one thing I want to say about Christian McCaffrey, though, I have never seen an athlete that's been involved in at every single play that's been used as much as Christian McCaffrey is. And I hope he can stay healthy and avoid any injury. But that man is touching the football every single play.
Yeah.
Every single play. Riverboat Ron is not looking out for McCaffrey.
Well, Riverboat Ron knows he's gone after this year.
That's true. So I guess he's just throwing everything he's got. But, I mean, he is not taking care of Christian McCaffrey's longevity. That man is literally involved in every single play, whether he's catching a screen pass out of the backfield or a draw up the middle. McCaffrey is just an absolute, the true definition of a workhorse.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly with that. Not much to talk about. Arizona falling back really to what we all thought they would be. Moving on, Pittsburgh, 0-3. They lose to the Niners 24-20. The 49ers are 3-0 for the first time since 1998.
Wow.
Are the Niners for real?
I still say no.
Why?
I still do not believe in the 49ers.
Why? What else do they have to do?
Jimmy G, I don't like what I've seen from Jimmy G. I still think he's trying to nurse himself back to health. I don't think he's fully recovered, and I think he looks like he's playing scared, in my opinion.
I mean, they beat Tampa Bay, they beat Cincy, and they beat Pittsburgh.
Three not very solid wins at all.
I think Tampa Bay's a solid win. We disagree on that.
I don't think it's a solid win, but I'm just not impressed with what I've seen from Jimmy G.
What about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is another train wreck. There's a lot of train wrecks that we've mentioned today, and the Steelers are one of them.
They don't even have a first-round pick no more. Now that Minka's there.
And did you see him get stiff-armed?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody threw him into next week.
He had a pick as well in that game. But
how many wins are you giving the Steelers? I say four.
I'm going to say five or six.
That is a bad football team.
I'm going to say five or six.
And it's crazy because Tomlin doesn't usually run operations like this.
They've always had a winning season under Mike Tomlin.
Right. What is going on in Pittsburgh?
I think they won't be one of the worst teams.
How do you feel about Mason?
He didn't look too good against San Francisco.
I was going to say not impressed at all.
So he has to pick it up. We will preview their game next week against Cincinnati and Pick'ems.
So you're a believer in the Niners?
I am a believer in San Francisco. I think they're a playoff team.
Okay.
I like what they've done. I think you'll have three teams out of the NFC West.
Okay.
I really strongly believe that with Seattle and Los Angeles as well. I think they're real. I like Jimmy G more than you do, obviously. I think the Niners defense is underrated. They are forcing turnovers left and right. which
I like the Niners defense,
which is important. They have good special teams. They have a reliable kicker.
I will
means more now.
That's true. I will say this about
usual.
Jimmy G, though. It's exactly what we were saying about Minshew. I feel like Jimmy G is a backup quarterback.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is a solid backup quarterback. I really believe that. He reminds me of Eli Manning, how Eli Manning plays right now.
That's embarrassing. That might be your worst take ever on this show.
I'm being dead serious. I have not liked what I've seen from him one bit. That the preseason game where he threw 5 picks, that's the Jimmy G that I'm starting to think. I think that's who he really is.
You're better than that.
We'll see.
You were better than
we'll
that.
We'll see.
No. That's disrespectful. That's so disrespectful. I just no. All right, moving on to New Orleans and Seattle. The Saints stunning the Seahawks 33-27. Saints, their first win without Breeze as a starter since. You want to guess what year?
2008.
Close. 3 years earlier. I don't even know my math. 2005 was the last time.
Wow.
The Saints won a game without Drew Brees as their starting quarterback.
Who was starting that game? Do you have any idea?
Probably the guess off the top of my head would be Luke McCown.
Okay.
That would be the guess off the top of my head. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Okay.
I
That's an interesting stat, though.
But it is. I saw that, and I wanted to make sure I made a point of that on the show.
Were you impressed with Teddy Bridge?
I was. I thought he was very good. I think the Saints, it definitely, going up to hostile environment in Seattle and performing like that.
The 12th man.
That's good. That was a good performance.
It was. And the score was much closer than the game actually was. That's been the storyline with a bunch of games that we've talked about today.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks, garbage time Russ came alive at the end. I mean, make the game close. But my take on Teddy Bridgewater, I still need to see more. He hasn't been a starter in a long time. And he's got weapons all over the field. Michael Thomas, one of the best receivers in the league. Alvin Kamara. So, I mean, I'm going to have to see more out of him. But for that's a great win winning in Seattle. So I got to give him credit there. Mm-hmm. But I got to see more.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think Seattle will be fine. I think the Saints are for real. I think they're for real. Their defense has picked it up as well, so that will help them as well. And we will preview their game versus Dallas later in the show, I know we should have some disagreement maybe on that.
My issue with the Seahawks, though, it's kind of like the same issue I have with the Packers offense. I'm just seeing too much running the football and not utilizing weapons that they have.
Yeah.
I don't know, Russell Wilson has a cannon on him and
he
can move and he's a fantastic quarterback. I'm just not seeing enough out of him. And I mean, he's running the plays that are being called and you can't fault him for that, but I think there's just too much potential that they're not getting the most of it.
I agree, but I think they'll get sorted.
I agree.
They will. And we move on to the final 4 o'clock game. The Chargers dropping one at home to the Texans 27-20. The Texans outscored the Chargers 20-3 in the second half.
The Chargers flat out choked.
Are we concerned about the Chargers at 1-2?
I am concerned about the Chargers.
Melvin Gordon might be coming back soon. So
that is how big of an addition is that, though?
I don't think it is that big of an addition.
I was going to say, yeah, because Eckler's been playing great. So, I mean, obviously Melvin Gordon is a fantastic running back, and he will make a difference, but how big is that difference? That's my only question. But I am very concerned about the Chargers.
I am too. I think they're in trouble. I think they are in trouble. The thing is, they always have a poor start, and then they turn it on later in the year.
Do they lose to the Dolphins next week?
No. If they do, we need the fire alarm's got to be starting.
All you listeners out there, pick the Los Angeles Chargers against
Survivor.
The Dolphins.
Absolutely. Now I don't know if it's the game I've been waiting to talk about because it made me really upset. But the Rams and the Browns.
You take the floor on this one.
The Rams win 20-13. Cooper Kupp with 2 receiving touchdowns for the Rams, tying a career high. That was a game I picked them to win, obviously, in pick-ems. That was a game we should have won. That was a game we were the better team in that game. And we were thoroughly outcoached. Thoroughly
That's an understatement.
And I don't want to go too deep into it because I know it can be worse. I've experienced worse. Way worse. Nothing can be worse.
I was going to ask you, are you missing Hugh?
Than Hubris Jackson. Nothing will be worse than that. But Freddie Kitchens did not put on a coaching clinic last night. That was pretty bad.
That was very bad.
Going for it on 4th and 9.
With a draw play?
With a draw play was embarrassing.
What was he thinking?
Embarrassing to say the least. The first and goal. Passing it. It was funny. I was watching it with my dad. I got to watch the game with my dad. And I told him that before the drive even started, this is going to be 4 straight passes. Because this is exactly what we did in Baltimore week 17. I'm telling you, I know Freddie Kitchens. It's going to be 4 straight passes. Chubb's not going to get the ball once.
Where was the ball at?
At the 4.5-yard line. Okay. And sure enough, it was 4 straight passes and 4 straight incompletions. Chubb didn't get the ball one time. Chubb ran all through the Los Angeles Rams defense.
All night long.
All night long.
You know who's probably screaming at their TV? Marshawn Lynch. Feed Chubb the ball.
You know who? And the worst part was, when passing it, they didn't target Odell one time. They didn't target Odell once. The guy who, he's one of the most dynamic playmakers the NFL has ever seen.
Absolutely.
You paid all that to get him, and you don't even use him once. Damian Ratley. Have you heard of Damian Ratley before?
No.
Damian Ratley, he was our, because of injuries and suspensions with Higgins and Calla, he was our number 3 receiver. He's usually our number 5. He got 2 targets on that final drive. Odell didn't get 1. Demetrius Harris, our backup tight end, who's now our starter, now that Njoku went out, had 1 as well.
Well, he had a touchdown earlier, though, didn't he?
He did, but, I mean, when you're that wide open, right. I would hope you would catch it or throw it to him. But, and the credit to the defense, our whole starting secondary was out. We had so many injuries. Yeah. And our defense was phenomenal.
They played great.
If you told me that the Rams would only score 20 points that Sunday night, I'd be like, we won that game.
Yeah.
100%.
You think with the offense the Browns have, they'd be able to put up more than 20 points.
I would be like, all right.
At home.
Thank you very much.
Time.
Thank you very much. We won the game.
Right.
And the fact that they could only put up 13, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I'm really concerned about the Browns.
Are you concerned with the team or just the coaching?
Well, I mean, both.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like calling games must win, but this game in Baltimore is a must win.
Really?
This game, they have to win in Baltimore next week because you fall 2 games back. They're the tie break, and then you enter the gauntlet. San Francisco on the road. Seattle at New England. It doesn't get easy.
But yeah,
I think the Browns.
This is a big one.
And I texted, and you're a witness for this. I picked the Browns, obviously, to win the Super Bowl on the show. After the show, I felt like an absolute idiot. 2 hours later, I texted you what I thought the Browns would do, and I texted Blaine, Weston, and Jimmy this. I said we'd be 10-6, and you can back me up on this because am I not lying here? The viewers, I'm not lying. Correct.
Correct.
I said we'd be 10-6 and lose in the first round of the playoffs. I felt like an absolute dummy picking the Browns to win the Super Bowl.
On HCC airwaves.
On FCC airwaves.
FCC airwaves.
I think we're an 8-8 football team.
Really?
So you're
changing your prediction.
I think we are an 8-8 football team. I'm really concerned. I think the offense is just not looking good. Baker's regressed. He's regressed. I mean,
call it what it is.
I mean, he's not played well this season at all. I mean, he'll tell you that as well. I'm a little concerned. I hope they get it together, but I think we're an 8-8 football team right now.
Is Freddie going to pass the reins of offensive coordinator?
No, not a chance. He should, but not a chance. Not a chance.
If they lose the next three games because the offense isn't.
No chance? Freddie's not going to pass over his play call. He will fire Todd Monken before he passes over play calling duties. And by the way, I think Todd Monken is on the hot seat because of his – him and Freddie have clashed over what the call and Freddie calls plays. I think Todd Monken, if they continue this losing, he might be a goner.
Okay. Like I've mentioned earlier.
Which would be extremely harsh.
Like I've mentioned earlier about teams not utilizing their full potential, I think the Browns are another one that's a classic case of this. Look at the weapons that Baker has at his dispense, and Freddie Kitchens isn't even getting half the value of that he has on the field.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It really is sad. The Packers, the Seahawks, and the Browns all have offenses that could easily put up 40 points a game. Just load stat sheets. But they're just being held back. And that's really my take on it.
I agree wholeheartedly. Monday night. The Bears beat the Redskins 31-15. The Redskins, by the way, in their last 20 Monday night home games. What do you think their record is?
Last 20. 3-17.
2-18.
Oh.
They are 2-18.
That is dreadful.
In their last Monday night, in their last 20 home Monday night games.
I want to know what the average attendance is for those Monday night games, because who wants to go support that football team?
How about Maserati Mitch, by the way?
I knew this was coming.
Are you kidding me?
I knew this was
coming. He sliced and diced in the first half.
Oh, stop it.
He did.
Oh, stop it.
17 of 20?
He threw his average pass downfield was probably 3 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked.
Dink and dunk. And he didn't have to do anything. He did not have to do anything. The Bears defense literally gave him the best situations that he could have possibly dreamed of.
Oh,
he was handed stats on a silver platter. The only reason
Maserati Mitch, he sliced
and
diced.
The only reason that Moped Mitch had a stat packed game was because the Bears defense gave it to him.
So
they said, "Hey Mitch,
25 of 31, 231, 3 touchdowns and a pick.
And an awful pick. And his third touchdown pass was, he got bailed out. That was an awful throw.
All right.
It was. Did you see the catch that Gabriel had to make for that?
It was a touchdown.
He should have caught it in stride and walked into the
Maserati
end zone.
Maserati Mitch was, he's back to being the Mitchell Trubisky I expect.
Sebastian, you can't be doing this after what we've been talking about all show. Strength of opponents.
He's back.
Look at the Redskins' defense.
Well, he played well.
He was gift-wrapped everything that he could have dreamed
of.
So,
I think he can sustain what he did against the Redskins. I really do.
No way.
Yeah. Just like I think the Bills can sustain what they did against.
I wish Weston was here to back me up on this so he could trash his Redskins' defense, because he as everybody else knows how bad they are.
25 of 31. For 231 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's a great stat line.
He should have had 4 touchdowns. You're not going to talk about that interception in the end zone looking like Kirk Cousins?
Okay, it was a bad throw.
It was a terrible throw.
Does every quarterback, we act like quarterbacks don't throw interceptions?
If the Bears didn't have the defense that they had, they would be worse than the Lions. They would be consistently at the bottom of our league, of our division. He would. Mitch Trubisky is bottom 5 QBs in the NFL.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
You're disrespectful. Disrespectful. That's the Packers hate that's showing up.
No, it's not.
From you.
This is unbiased, just me watching Mitch Trubisky play. All his stats from this past game came single-handedly from the Bears defense. I think 2 of his 3 touchdowns, he didn't have to drive down the field. The offense got the ball in the red zone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what more does he have to do?
We will pick the Bears-Vikings game later on.
Oh, goodness.
You want to talk some baseball for a couple minutes?
Let's get wild, baby. Nats headed to the wild card.
Nationals clinch a playoff berth. It's been a while since we've talked baseball. I'm glad we got the NFL over with, because I've wanted to talk some baseball for a little bit. How about the NL wild card? It looked to be a frantic finish, and it's going to be a sleeper.
It is.
It's going to be everything's going to be done and dusted by the final weekend, which I love, by the way, because now you already know you guys get the rest of your starters.
Well, not necessarily, though, because we are still battling the Brewers for home field.
I have a quote from Davey Martinez saying we are going to prioritize rest and situation over home field in the wild card game.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Well, all my love
and
for Davey.
He is right, there as goes, he should be.
There goes all my love for Davey right out the window. Home field advantage is so much more important.
So let me ask you this. Scherzer's scheduled to start Sunday.
Yes.
You're starting Scherzer Sunday in hopes of trying to get home field over, and then put it, instead of pushing him back to start the wild card game?
That's an interesting question. Because I want Scherzer starting the wild card game. But is that what he meant by that quote?
In a way, yes.
Is that the only thing he meant by that quote? Or is he gonna pull Soto, Rendon, Turner?
I think he's gonna give them rest like one game out of three.
That I don't agree with, but the whole Scherzer thing so that he can start the wild card, I agree with that. But if he's just gonna rest people just to rest them, they're not out there playing a high contact. They're not playing football. They're not at high risk of injury.
Soto needs a break.
Soto does need a break. That is one guy out that I would be okay with.
I think
he
could use a rest for the Indian series. He can just sit the whole series. Why not?
Give him a couple pinch hit appearances.
Yeah, a couple pinch hit.
But home field advantage is so important. And if, I don't know if you saw Rendon called out the Nats fan base. He said he was hoping that there would be some more fans towards later in the season. He was not impressed with the turnout from yesterday when they clinched the wild card berth. He was not happy. But I mean,
sounds like someone who's ready to leave the Nationals after this.
No. Sounds like somebody who wants a little bit more out of the fans. That's all that I'm taking from it.
I think he's gone. I think he's gone.
No chance.
You're going to pay him $260 million?
Best third baseman in baseball.
No, he's not.
Best third baseman
in
baseball.
He's had the best year, but he's not the best third baseman in baseball. Nolan Arenado's the best third baseman in baseball.
Well, I will say this, though, as far as the Nationals-Phillies series, the Phillies are a bad baseball team, and I'm very curious to see how this whole Bryce Harper era thing goes, because I don't know if the Phillies will ever win that division. I think
they can.
I really don't know if they will. They need a new coach.
Here's the thing. The Braves are going to probably win it a bunch.
Right. It's going to be between the Braves and the Nationals every year. The Phillies do not scare me whatsoever.
I think the Mets could be in there next year, too, with that rotation.
Hey, don't sleep on the Marlins, too.
No, stop.
My Miami Marlins.
No way. How about the Cubs, though?
They're
done.
Classic case of getting cold at the wrong
time.
Eliminated. Yep. Dunzo.
Stunning.
Yep.
It's going to be the Brewers and the Nats. We won't get a chance to pick a winner in that game, and we won't know who has home field. That will happen Tuesday.
Right.
Obviously, we will be on air Wednesday.
Yep.
So do you think the Nats will beat the Brewers, whether they're home or away?
I think we will. The Brewers really don't scare me, and now that they don't have Yelich, that is a humongous loss. I will say that the Brewers are playing with their hair on fire. They're a very, very hot baseball team.
All the pressure is on you guys.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The Nats have all the pressure on them, but I think this is the year that we step up, and I'm not going to say we win the World Series, although I would like to. But
I don't think you're getting past the Dodgers. No way.
I don't see it either, but I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We just got to focus on the wild card game.
You were right about that 100%.
I think we will beat the Brewers. I think we will. No matter where the game is played, obviously I'm hoping it's in D.C. so I can be there screaming with everybody else. But
we will be there screaming. We have a bench warmers outing Friday. That's against the Indians.
Indians,
so.
Why don't you talk about your Indians?
Let's go to the AL wild card. Three teams. Oakland lost yesterday. So now Tampa.
Did Tampa lose to the Yankees?
No, they walked them off in
no
12 innings.
No way.
I know. They walk them off. Every time Tampa Bay is like 116 of 18. They're in fuego. Like every time I'm like, all right, we won. Now it's time for you to lose Tampa Bay. Nope. Right. Dinger. Walk-off dinger. Nate Lowe did it to the Red Sox.
That's clutch.
And now G-Man Choi did it to the Yankees.
It's clutch.
So the AL wildcard situation, it's probably going to come down to the last day. So Tampa Bay and Cleveland are tied for the second wild card, and then Oakland's only one game up for the first wild card.
Is there a fourth team that's fighting for contention?
No, it's
just
three.
Those three?
It's those three. Boston eliminated.
Right.
Who do you think out of those three is going to get it?
You're not going to be happy with this.
I'm going to say it.
Oakland's going to be the first. Tampa Bay is going to be the second.
All right. I know why you're saying that, because we got to play the Nats, and you think we're going to lose to the Nats.
Swept.
Swept?
With or without our starters playing, if Davey does go through with his idiotic statement, the Nats will sweep the Indians at home. To close out the year.
They're not going to sweep them.
They're going to sweep. Three-game sweep. We're actually going to five-game sweep the Phillies. This is my honest opinion. We're going to fight. The Phillies are not a good baseball team. And then we're going to 3-game sweep the Indians.
You're not sweeping we the are Cleveland
be,
Indians. No.
Speaking of in fuego.
No.
In fuego going into this wild card game.
The Indians are in fuego right now. They're not going to get swept.
Go ahead.
I don't care what any. They're not getting swept. If they get swept, I will let you host the show. They're
all right,
not getting swept.
Go ahead and talk about your secret weapon.
Jose Ramirez is back. The Cleveland Indians will get the second wild card, and the Oakland Athletics will hold on to the first wild card. Tampa Bay is going to be sitting at home, and I hope they do, because they don't. Those fans don't deserve
That's
to see
true.
Playoff baseball.
I agree with that.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you want a ratings doozy? How horrible would it be for baseball to have an Oakland Athletics, Tampa Bay Rays wild card game?
Wouldn't be good. Well,
wouldn't have a million people watching.
No. From a baseball perspective, I think that would
be a great
game.
But ratings-wise,
awful.
It's going to be horrible. It's going to be absolutely horrible. It could be – it's probably –
It'd be hogwash.
It'd probably be the two worst teams you could have on a wild card game, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe the Whites – the White Sox are in Chicago, though.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
It's probably the two worst teams that you could have on a wild card game.
So if the Indians do make the wild card game, do you like their chances?
So they'll probably throw because Clevinger is going to pitch the finale in DC. So Bieber would go in the wild card game. I don't know. I hate playing in Oakland. Oakland's our bugaboo, man. It's going to be hard. I don't know. We will get the chance to preview that game.
Yep.
So
that Wednesday night?
That's Wednesday night.
Okay.
The Nats will be Tuesday night.
Okay.
So I will save that for that show. Let's do some pick-ems, shall we?
Been waiting for this.
Favorite part of the show. If you took our advice on pick-ems, we apologize beforehand because all three of us were hot garbage this week. Blaine had the best week, and he wasn't even that good. He was 6-4.
Not surprised.
I was 5-5. I'm utterly disgusted with myself going 5-5. I'm now 23-12 on the year. I'm utterly, I'm legit angry. I never go 5-5 in pick-ems, but I'm disgusted.
What did Wes go?
Weston went 4-6.
Looking like Moped Mitch out there.
Maybe that's why he's not on the show this week.
He got the boot.
All right, let's get started. College football, Penn State at Maryland.
Penn State.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I think Maryland's going to get the – speaking of breaks and getting beat off, I think that's what's going to happen to Maryland.
I put this one in there kind of for a free one for both of us, Clemson and North Carolina.
Give me the Tar Heels. I'm just kidding.
You want to take Mac Brown?
Mac Brown, baby.
Notre Dame and Virginia.
I'm going to take Virginia.
All right. We got our first disagreement.
I'm going
the Fighting Irish in this one. Washington and USC.
USC surprised us. They surprised us last week with their when they upset Utah. But I don't see them upsetting Washington. I'm going to take the Huskies.
I am taking Washington as well. Last but not least, where college game day is, Ohio State at Nebraska.
Ohio State.
Yeah, that's an easy one, I think, for all of us.
That shouldn't
Ohio
be.
State will slaughter
the
Cornhuskers of Nebraska. NFL, Thursday night, your Green Bay Packers hosting the Philadelphia Eagles.
Go Pack Go, baby.
I agree.
I frozen
think the
Packers
tundra. Are going to win.
4-0.
The Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens.
Must-win game for the Browns, as you're saying. I'm going to take the Browns.
You're going to take the Browns?
I'm going to take the Browns over the Ratbirds.
I think one of our 8 wins is going to be next week. I think the Cleveland Browns will win. The Chicago Bears hosting the Minnesota Vikings. I did this just for you.
Talk about some horrible quarterback play
in that
game.
I did this just for you.
I cannot wait to see what both defenses are really solid. I cannot wait to see both quarterbacks be like 15 for 32 with 160 yards and 4 picks. That's going to if anybody you listeners out there have fantasy football teams, pick up the Bears or the Vikings defenses. I'm sure they're not available, but make trades for them because it is going to be a field day for defenses, but the Vikings are going to come out on top.
Of course you say that.
Moped Mitch is going to show his true colors. Well, he shows his true colors week in and week out.
Nope.
They weren't his true colors last week. Vikings win the game.
Nope. Bears are going to win, and they're going to win by a lot.
Oh, come on.
Kirk Cousins might get benched after this week. I'm serious.
Chase Daniel better be ready too.
Sunday night, Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints.
That's a good game. It'll be the Cowboys' first test. I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater and
You're
the Saints.
Taking Teddy. I'm taking Teddy as well. I think the Saints are going to win. Monday night, Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
To be honest with you, I might not even watch that game.
I don't think anyone is.
That is a disgusting football game. I don't even want to pick it, but I'm going to take Cincinnati.
All right, Bengals, I'm going to take Pittsburgh. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Blaine Lowry.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.